Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now it's time for Mark and Hart, featuring Mark James.
I'm the one who popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid-90s.
Mark with a C.
Zidane Old Chara.
Stale Arnold.
Jarrett Studdum.
And Andy Hart.
Why are you such a donkey, bro?
Bro. Yeah, bro, I'm a donkey.
You're the Houston Texans.
No,
but gamble.
I'm up, I'm down, no. I'm good, I'm bad.
I'm actually going to print t-shirts. I make Mark James remotely tolerable. Weekends.
Mac and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
It's Mark and Hart right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
And I feel bad for him because people are asking questions like he was the one who started this shit up. No, man.
And that makes me sad.
Let him do his job, you know. He gonna do what is best for the game. He's good at making decisions, but people need to chillax. People need to let him do his job.
Can we stop? This is unbelievable.
Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on?
Just talk about that.
Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, nah. So you look like a snitch.
You snitching, bro?
You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why nobody say anything while it was going on?
You blew it! All right. Big night. Big day on Mark and Hart. Big day on WEEI. Of course, OMF. The folks are going to be calling the Red Sox first game of spring training on the Shaw's Star Market Week. Red Sox Radio Network. OMF. So we'll get to all that, those guys down in Fort Myers. But first and foremost, it's fight night. It's fight night. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury 2. And I haven't been this excited over a boxing fight in a long time. I mean, really, Mayweather-Pacquiao, which turned out to be a complete dud. But this one, if it's anything like the first fight, which was like a year and 3 months ago, we're in for a treat tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
You know, my only issue?
What?
Can I stay up?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, go
I
out.
Might even take a nap. Well, see, that's the problem. Today's National Margarita Day.
Oh.
And my wife and some friends were going to get margaritas. So if I have margaritas at like 7, your chances of me watching that fight really go down the crapper.
You won't make it past the undercard.
Probably not.
You won't.
Maybe I'll set an alarm.
Yeah.
Wake myself up.
That's what you should do. Usually, I would say
11:30.
Well, just because, you know, like, yeah, about 11:30, I think that's when people will start getting in tune to everything. And
well, it is the pay-per-view of the decade, you know, which I laughed when I heard that ad and said,
it's 2 months old.
Yeah, we're barely 2 months old. How many pay-per-views have there been? The Royal Rumble,
right.
Like three pay-per-views
right,
so
exactly.
Far?
Yeah, right.
A couple of UFCs.
Yeah.
Bones-Jones, maybe.
I mean, there hasn't been much there. But
so it's not lying.
No.
It is the pay-per-view of the decade.
It is. And I think for boxing, this needs to be, these guys need
yes.
to do it tonight. They need to, for this sport, it needs. Now, listen, it could go. I have a prediction, more than the winner, but I have a prediction. Well, coming up, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We got some stuff.
So you're a Wilder guy, based
oh,
on
huge,
what you just texted.
Huge.
A little photo of you as a little kid with him.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
so cute.
Did you see
his
hands?
His hands the size of your back.
Right. I mean, like my God.
But now he's fighting a guy who's 270. What do you weigh? 273.
Yeah.
Or something he weighed. That's a massive, massive human being.
Which is weird because he weighs about 15 pounds more than he did in the first fight.
Yeah, that's I've seen the analyst saying like he can absorb more punches at that weight, and I'm like,
really?
Yeah, but isn't he going to be absolutely gassed?
Yeah, Yeah.
I mean, I don't know you. You do something when you put on a little weight and you know it, and then you go for a jog or something.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell. If you got a little 10 extra pounds, you're like, this feels a little harder than it used to feel. So I think that's an interesting strategy.
I want you to think about this. They did something this week on ESPN about how hard his punch. It's the hardest hitting punch in boxing history. It comes in.
How do they know that?
Well, they did.
Sports science?
Yeah, they did it. 25.6 miles an hour.
Harder than Dolph Lundgren and Rocky IV
Drago. Yeah. Harder than Drago, even on steroids. 25.6 miles an hour. Tyson's came in at about 24.8.
But like, what was Tyson? Oh, you did
24.8.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
24.8. That was hit. Mike Tyson was 24.8.
Okay.
So he's 25.6. Can you imagine? And the reach, he's got like a 7'6" wingspan. The reach.
Yeah,
Of coming in and then he goes in with the left and then I just hope it's a great fight.
Boxing needs it.
Boxing needs it. They do.
They need a good, you know, I bring up Rocky. They need slug it out for a few rounds, and then they need a knockout.
Sure.
No questionable decisions or any of that crap. The public wants to see somebody on their back. That's just the reality.
Sure. And here's the thing. Deontay Wilder, not only is he undefeated, which technically Tyson Fury is as well, because they both fought to a draw last time. He's never been knocked down, Deontay Wilder, in his entire career. He's never been knocked down.
And that's what boxing needs. It needs the king of the mountain, knock him off the hill, marquee name, someone people can root either for because he's the dominant one or root for somebody to actually take him down.
But this is the closest thing we've had since Mike Tyson, really. And here's the thing. Now, Tyson said, and I'm just stating what Tyson Fury said. Now, Mike Tyson said... And you can say this on the air, it's okay, that I could, no, it's fine. Mike Tyson said I could pleasure myself in front of Madison Square Garden and I would sell it out. That's what Tyson Fury said he's doing 7 times a day to lead up into this fight. He went on the other station in town last week and they asked him about it.
I thought the old school boxing rules were you like a month lead in, you didn't do.
No, he said, you can't do sex. He goes, doesn't it weaken knees? He goes, but you can do the other thing. He says he does it 7 times a day leading up to this fight.
You know what I mean? I got issues. I got some issues.
Never works. That's quite a, maybe he's got some potential sponsorship agreements down the road if it says the plan of attack comes out successful.
Well, it could be it. Well, he's already talking about that. He if he wins this, he might retire. There's already talk about that.
Oh, God.
Which is like... Well,
and then he'll come out of retirement.
Yeah.
Boxing retired.
Now, this is great for sport. And seriously, on February 22nd, I mean, what are you going to do tonight better than watch this fight? I mean, this is it. And
drink margaritas.
Yeah. Drink margaritas and watch the fight. A lot of things to get to. We got so much stuff to get to. Let's start with what happened on Thursday down in Fort Myers. And more, the Red Sox tried to take a couple steps forward. Sometimes they take 18 steps backwards.
Yeah, sometimes or most times?
I would say 99%.
More often than not.
Yes, they do. David Ortiz, who, as you well know, obviously has been to the Red Sox over the course of the last 2 decades. What Tom Brady's been to the Patriots. Now, he's not anywhere close to the iconic figure as Bill Belichick has called Tom Brady. He's nowhere near. Tom Brady, as far as I know, has done everything above board. He's never been on a list, but he's never been accused.
He was suspended 4 games for doctoring footballs.
I mean, you
can make that face, but he was charged and convicted and served the penalty.
Okay.
Whatever you think of it. It is what it is, right? As his coach would say.
No.
So, but I was intrigued because you bring this up, Ortiz, to compare him to Brady and that sort of iconic figure in modern ball. I believe it was Buckley on The Athletic, Steve Buckley. I hope it was him that I read, called David Ortiz the most important Red Sox player in the history of the franchise. The most important Red Sox player in the history of the franchise, and I found that interesting. I mean, this is a franchise
that
has...
Steve Buckley said that.
I believe so. I should probably double check. I was one of the stories I was reading coming out of these Ortiz sit-down comments. And for that, just reading it, I paused mid-sentence when he wrote that phrase, and I'm thinking, is that true? I mean, a franchise that's had Roger Clemens and Pedro Martinez and Ted Williams and Carl Yastrzemski. This is a pretty storied franchise to anoint David Ortiz the most important player in franchise history. That's saying something. I'm not totally arguing the point. I think there is definitely a very strong argument to be actually for it, but it makes you pause for a second when you say that.
Well, in terms of modern day history, he's really was there since 03 and 02, excuse me. But you know, it's something that I can see in terms of the modern era. They needed a hero, and yep, they traded Nomar away at the 04 trade deadline. So I could see that to a certain extent.
And now, it goes beyond the field with the marathon bombings and This Is Our City and that whole thing, I think, gave him an even larger than life and everything that's gone on since. I mean, there's a lot to the David Ortiz story as a Boston Red Sox.
Yeah. Some good, some bad, some dirty. So let's go actually track number 9, Eamon. David Ortiz coming out and let's just say my jaw dropped.
To be honest with you, I don't agree with him getting all the heat. And it's because reality is not one player has come through and be like, hey, it was me who started this up. You know what I'm saying? It was everybody's passing the ball like when you're playing basketball. All the commissioner can do is just have a team investigating what's going on, do what we all know how to do. The commissioner, Manfred, has been legit since day one. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it's fair for everyone pitching him, question and blame him on things. We all know that he got the power to suspend people or make decisions or this and that, blah, blah, blah. But it's only into certain point. After that, he had no control of, you know, whatever happened in an investigation.
Okay, so
to me, that was the money line. And that's why Manfred gets all the criticism. He had no control. He's lost complete control of the game of baseball, of cheating, of the investigation. If you want to call it a cover-up, of the cover-up. It's the worst cover-up in history.
Okay, and we'll get to that in a second. You got to hear this next because he goes on his Rob Manfred feel sorry for sympathy tour.
He's good at making decisions, but people need to chillax. People need to let him do his job. Player need to let him do what he think is better for the game and for everything else. You know what I'm saying? And stop putting him on the spot and telling him what to do.
Okay, so here's the thing. There's so many things to get into here. And number one, we state for the record, we can't say, you know, what we can't overstate the impact and, as you said, importance that somebody said that David Ortiz has had in Red Sox history still to this day. I mean, some people can make an argument even after the Red Sox won the World Series 2 years ago, he's still pretty much the face of the Red Sox.
Yes.
I mean, like, who is Mookie's gone?
Yep.
So Mookie's gone. David Price. There's who would you say right now? Now, I'm not saying that Rafael Devers, after another great year, and maybe they surprise some people if that happens, that he can't be. I'm saying that David Ortiz, since he left the Red Sox after the 2016 season, after that horrible series when they got swept by Cleveland and Tito Francona, that nobody has stepped up that void.
Not even close.
Even Dustin Pedroia, the following year, was like, you know, you're looking for a leader? You know, he's standing right here in front of his lot. Like,
still looking.
Still looking. We're all still looking. But I have to tell you this, that Big Poppy, I lost a lot of respect for him because now it shows like that he is just basically the former player version of Sam Kennedy now. He is holding the water for the Red Sox. He's
he has no control over
a glorified member of the PR team because and we didn't even get to the part of him vociferously defending the Mookie trade, which I don't even have a problem with because I wanted Mookie gone too. So now I have a problem. But when you come out and defend Manfred, the one thing I will say about Rob Manfred and all this is where he was screwed because he couldn't punish the players because the MLBPA president, Tony Clark, said that we won't allow you to be able to punish the players. They will have immunity. And if you file any type of grievance against the players, we won't allow it. So his hands were tied. Talking about Manfred.
Yep.
No matter what, he couldn't do anything. But I have to tell you this, David Ortiz now, Eamon, let's hit the 30 for 30 music, shall we?
going to tell me something.
What if I told you?
Told you.
That a three-time World Series champion, a guy who is so much part of Red Sox Nation, turned in to a corporate shill sellout. From Big Poppy to Big Puppet.
Oh.
David Ortiz. ESPN 30 for 30. Coming soon. I've got to say this, that it just, for me, this whole thing, it left a really bad taste in my mouth that, okay, you're carrying the water now. And I get it. Listen, who was the one who sent the plane down the Dominican right. when you were shot and saved your life? So I get that part.
Like, some of this is personal, like on right. a personal got, nature. Sure. That, the plane.
Yep.
I also think the Manfred stuff. Manfred, when he had his comments, what was it, Ortiz's last game? And he sort of defended David Ortiz and his spot on the New York Times leaked list of players and said, you know, there's some percentage of those players that may not have failed for banned substance reasons. And he almost said, like, you know, imagine there's somebody named Rob Manfred on there and he could have failed for a reason that isn't about steroids and PEDs. And he kind of defended Ortiz back in the time. And my guess is that resonated with David Ortiz. It has to. The commissioner of baseball comes out and is defending you personally, you know, picking you from a list and kind of propping you up as, no, he's a great player. He did it the right way, whatever. So you combine those things, the med flight out of the Dominican, the airplane getting mm-hmm. in, you know, that whole incident, and then Manfred's personal support of David Ortiz. To me, this is some personal, but you're right. He's also an ambassador. He's now an ambassador for the Red Sox, the game of baseball, and that's
corporate.
What he is.
Yeah, he's corporate. He's management now. He's, as the wrestling business, they would say when one of the boys crossed over, he's office now. He's office. And that's fine. Like, that's okay. You can do what you got to do. But you're coming out and you're defending. And, oh, and here's a, hey, Eamon, do we have when he met up with Alex Verdugo in the clubhouse? How? Okay, you get that. Because this thing, it couldn't have been more staged.
Right.
I mean, this was like a skit on Saturday Night Live. There was nothing organic about
it. Well, it's not organic. No, it was completely staged.
Okay.
I will say I do think there was a genuine awe from Verdugo
mm-hmm.
in being, you know, hugging David Ortiz, his idol, and this whole idea that, you know, David Ortiz is telling you to take care of your business and go do your thing and all of that. I do think the young player, to some degree, there was some genuine awe there. But it was a staged, made for Twitter, made for social media. Let's have our social accounts blow up with this video on RedSox.com kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. And if you don't even, and usually you can't do it justice, here we go.
Alex, do you know the major player you admire the most?
Oh, no. I don't want to hear that yet. No. I want the meeting first.
The hugging. And kissing.
I want that part first. Not him getting, we'll get to the part where he talks about Verdugo. I want the part where, oh, here we go.
Like, I might even tear up, man. Like,
hey, kid, what's going on?
Snaps.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Yeah, how are you?
I'm good.
A lot better now. A lot better now.
Remember,
I'm shaking.
You are very important to this organization.
Anything you got, hey, I'm open ears with you, baby. Yeah, I lost you doing that. You're my favorite player.
Really? I appreciate it, man. What do you think?
I got you over to the shot. Thank you, man.
Hmm.
So he's open ears.
He is. And you know what? There is obviously some question about Alex Verdugo's character because reportedly he Snapchat an underage girl getting beat up right. by two other girls, and then he put it on Snapchat.
Yep.
And
definite maturity questions and moral questions surrounding him. But even more so, there's some baseball questions, too.
Right.
From an organizational perspective, does he give you his best effort at all times? Does he listen to elders? Does he have maybe a chip on his shoulder that he's bigger than some of the veterans in the locker room?
Or the fact that he's got a stress fracture in his back. But I'll tell you this, for everybody out there, we have an official scouting report on the guy who is now the voice of the Red Sox, David Ortiz, on Alex Verdugo's, let's just say, prowess in the postseason.
He said the other day he might hug you.
He did. I had that great feeling about him, about his attitude. I love his attitude, you know. And to be honest with you, during the playoff last year, he was one of the players that caught my attention at the most.
Do we have him talking about the postseason? You missed the money shot. The Val Venus money. Do we have that?
He said the playoffs.
Oh, he did say but he goes on. Do we have even more? Because he goes into detail. Goes, I was watching the Dodgers in the playoffs, and this guy really, really. So he did say playoffs there. Okay.
You need to start listening. This isn't the first time this week you've had an issue not listening to a soundbite.
No, but okay. So
you're firing producers are quitting after working with you.
There is more if you want it, but I just think he says playoffs.
No. Keep going.
Because everybody's focused on Bellinger. Everybody's focused on
this is it
on the second baseman. Everybody's focused on the third baseman. Everybody's focused on Kershaw. Everybody's focused. He was the one peacemaker that take pressure away from the big guy, and let me tell you why. He was getting on base a lot, and he was distracting the pitchers because of his speed also. So when you have a guy like that on base as a pitcher, you know, you kind of freaking out because you don't know what he's gonna do next. So for me as a hitter, it's good because now you're gonna miss location more than what you normally do when that guy's not on base.
Okay. He talks about him the postseason. Here's the difference, though. Alex Verdugo has never actually played in the playoffs. Never.
Really?
No. He never has.
In the playoff last year, he was one of the players that caught my attention at the bus.
None. He never actually played in the postseason. So, again, let's just bring this up.
Well, that talking point needs to be scratched off the index card. Somebody in PR is losing a job.
Right, right.
And he told me to talk about his postseason.
Right, yeah.
What are you doing here? Yeah, is that true?
Yeah. He never actually played in the playoffs. So there's that.
Even regardless of that, because that's a terrible look.
Right.
It feels like too much of a sell job, right?
You think?
I still remember to the day when Bill Belichick drafted Chad Jackson. And was talking about, he was so good at the board. I mean, this guy can diagram defenses and off. And it almost felt like, are you convincing me? Or are you trying to convince yourself that the guy is capable of doing this? And that's what this feels like from Ortiz. Oh, I love his attitude. This kid. Yeah, what are you doing? Oh, you seems like you're countering reports that his attitude, his work ethic, and his, you know, those are issues. So this smells a little funny.
Yeah. So July 30th, 2009, it came out, according to the New York Times, that David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez tested positive for PEDs in 2003. So when Ortiz was asked about it around that time, right after the article came out in 2009, he said, quote, "Today I was informed by a reporter that I was on the 2003 list of MLB players to test positive for performance-enhancing substances. This happened right before our game, and the news blindsided me. I want to talk about this situation. I will as soon as I have more answers. In the meantime, I want to let you know how I am approaching this situation. One, I've already contacted the Players Association to confirm if this report is true. I've just been told that the report is true. Based on the way I've lived my life, I'm surprised to learn I tested positive. Two, I will find out what I tested positive for. And three, based on whatever I learn, I will share this information with my club and the public. You know me, I will not hide, and I will not make excuses." That was July 30, 2009. It is February 22nd, 2020. He still never addressed what he tested positive for.
Right.
We are nearly 11 years later, Big Poppy, Big Puppet, and we don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. And here's my thing. Like, you know, what? One of our favorite callers, your boy Danny Quincy, will call up and call me a Tom Brady rum swab. I've been called worse, and I'll admit to it. Fine. I've been called worse, and I'll take that. But the thing, if the worst thing you can say about Tom Brady is that he deflated footballs, which a lot of quarterbacks did because they wanted the perfect grip, but he really paid for the sins of Belichick not apologizing for Spygate, and Brady took the brunt of it for Deflategate. That's fine. Just like the worst thing you can say about LeBron is the decision, which in hindsight, it's really minute on so many levels. David Ortiz, we got the 2003 failed test. How about him, someone, trying to kill him last year, and they claimed it was a mistaken identity. Now, I don't know about you. Not many people look like David Ortiz.
No.
We've talked about this ad nauseum in terms of that video.
Correct.
And there was a check that was cut to a local Lexus dealer up here for a brand new Lexus for his, alleged mistress. And then you have him now just sort of being the do-boy for John Henry, Tom Werner, and the Red Sox. He doesn't come out with a lot of credibility. The Verdugo sound there. And I get it, Red Sox fans. It's tough to talk about your hero when this is a guy that you've worshipped and revered. But I'm just saying, the other night when I talked about this on Thursday night, you're going to might be surprised about this number. And you can, Brian DeFelice, the producer, can back me up on this. 94 to 95% of people, they agreed with me. And they said, you're right. Big Poppy is a fraud. Well, I didn't say he was a fraud, but people like, he's fraudulent, he's untrustworthy, he's dirty, I never trusted him. I'm glad what he led the Red Sox to 3 World Series titles, but I do believe he cheated, he's a puppet now, he's a shill. And I was shocked, because I thought it would be sort of a 60 defend, 40 attack, and it was 90-plus percent of people who agreed with me.
Yeah, that's... seems a little strong. I'm not sure your sample was totally indicative of the entire Red Sox Nation crowd.
Right.
Sure, but I do think it's the perfect example. If you like a guy, just you like a guy.
Yep.
You just forget all the flaws. Like you gloss over all the flaws. And if you don't like a guy, then all the flaws and the issues. I mean, how about sort of his contract disputes with the team over the years, or the, you know, smashing of the phone and the criticizing of the scorekeeper about individual calls on base hits and errors and little statistical things.
Interrupting Terry Francona's post-game press conference?
If that's Manny Ramirez, it's portrayed one way because people don't want to like Manny, because Manny pushed down Jack, the traveling secretary, and Manny did this and Manny did that. Mm-hmm. But David Ortiz, it's, that's just, whatever. Forget about it. Brush it under the rug. And that's the reality with a lot of us. If we like somebody, like you. You know, all your you guys, your Miami guys, you know, you're going to look past certain things that maybe Michael Irvin does.
Not Kellen Winslow.
Okay, so, I wouldn't look past.
Right.
There has to be some limit.
Right,
if you kill somebody, you rape somebody, you go to that, you can't look past it. But I'm talking about more minor things that would be perceived character flaws or points of criticism for certain people.
Sure.
Don't worry, whatever. Yeah. You just kind of forget about it and move on, because he's Poppy. Yeah. It's our city. You see those home runs he hit, how clutch he was? Yeah. Like, you focus on the good and you brush the bad under the rug.
And
it is what it is.
And how about what happened last year in the Dominican? We never found out what, there was no event.
And thing, never will.
That thing.
That's just a little bit like the steroid test. Never will. We'll never have any.
That thing just went out with the tide and sailed out to sea.
And I wasn't there, and I probably should have called Rob Bradford and asked this. So is that a non-talker now? Like, does he go to that picnic table, sit down with his little fungo bat, and you're well aware if you ask a question about the Dominican or your personal life, are you out? You know, they rip your credential off and kick you out.
This is an interesting question you ask, because when he came back and after he recovered and he sat down with the media at Fenway Park, he selected.
Invitation only.
Invitation only.
Yep.
Now, do you think that, has Bill Belichick or Tom Brady ever done invitation only?
Not really.
Like, you're hurting your head to think about it.
Yeah,
really. You're hurting your head.
Especially in a major issue.
Come on.
Like, you go to the podium. Right. Now, you can say, we've moved on, I'm not answering that. You can somehow ignore questions on your own. But to individually select people and basically send them a birthday party invitation to your press conference or your meeting with the media, that, and I bet you you're not allowed to ask anymore. That would be my guess, is that that's water under the bridge. That's the past. We're not talking about the past anymore. But you're right. We'll never have any clarity or conclusion to what happened in the Dominican, just like we probably will never have any clarity or conclusion as to why he was on that list. But I still say the fact that Manfred supported him, or at least gave him gray area support, I think that resonated with David Ortiz, and I think that's part of why he's supporting Manfred now. Because I can't imagine in any way that he firmly believes Rob Manfred has handled this the way he should have.
No.
Honestly.
No.
If you get him in that Bill Belichick truth serum, moment of truth, I can't imagine anyone saying, yeah, he's nailed this. First of all, the more we hear, Major League Baseball knew about this for a long time. And they were not going to do anything about it. It was not going to become public. There was not going to be any ramifications if Mike Fiers didn't do anything.
That's right. Oh, and we have a soundbite coming up as well. We'll get into the Mike Fiers thing, because David Ortiz certainly dropped the hammer on him on Thursday.
Right. Oh, yeah. Snitch.
Yeah. And called him basically, what Henry Hill got labeled in Goodfellas.
It's funny. I bet he would want snitches in the Dominican issue.
Sure.
How do you think all those people got arrested? My guess would be some snitches were involved. So he probably supported the use of snitches there. this time he's sort of phrasing the word with a much more negative connotation.
Yeah, and folks, listen, you could say what you want, what you will. I'm just telling you that the guy that you looked up to now, he's ownership. He's office now. So he's as much, when I see him, I see John Henry, Tom Werner, Sam Kennedy.
And
he's corporate.
That's fine, right?
Right.
I mean, well, are we not saying, like, one of my favorite people in the world of the Patriots is Andre Tippett. But I don't think Andre Tippett, if you get him on the air here, is going to be ripping Robert Kraft or the Patriots critical. He's a member of the organization.
But he's not.
You'd expect certain things, and it is what it is.
But he's not out there defending Roger Goodell.
No, yeah, but right? He also would not be out there criticizing Roger Goodell.
Okay,
you won't find that.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with that. Sometimes you just need to know what you're dealing. Okay, this guy has a certain objective bias, and that is what it is.
All right, we'll take your phone calls on that from Big Poppy to Big Puppet, 617-779-7937. Now it's time for trending.
People need to chillax.
Chillax. OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, Celtics, huge win last night over the Timberwolves, who did not have Karl Anthony Towns, I might add.
Celtics didn't have Kemba Walker.
Yeah, and that's a whole nother subject, too.
I'm, by the way, long-term concerned about that.
Well, long-term concerned, but you went ahead and you played in the All-Star game?
Yes, that is a bad look. That's a Kyrie-like look.
Yeah.
But I will say, maybe it felt fine Saturday night, and the result of playing a boatload of minutes in the All-Star game. But the bigger issue to me is this viscous fluid that they're injecting.
Yeah.
That means it's bone on bone. There's pain. That means this is a long... That doesn't fix anything. That's a temporary cure, temporary feel better. Drain it and viscous it. But what about long term? Where is this going? Is this more load management? Is this more time off this year, next year? That's a bad thing moving forward, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not. Former Celtics guard, and I'm reading this on the...
Look out, bus. Somebody, there's a bus coming.
It says certified coward. Eamon editorializing on the trending sheet.
A little fun in the
Kyrie
morning.
Kyrie Irving. Oh, we knew that he would not show up March 3rd.
Right.
So he decided to pack it in and have season-ending shoulder surgery. And just to think, your president of basketball operations wanted him back.
He's like just going to wait till KD's ready. I'll be back when KD's ready.
Yeah, that's right.
Certified coward.
Yeah, certified. You're right. Per Woj, Lakers have informed center DeMarcus Cousins that they intend to release him. No word on how much... Can we just throw in the towel?
What, you don't
on
want Boogie?
No.
Come on.
Do you feel bad about him?
Nice.
No.
Because I think he's a dink. But he is like Isaiah Thomas. He was ready to have the Brinks truck back up to him in Sacramento.
That's right.
And then it was traded, hurt, signed, hurt, signed, hurt. And that hundreds of millions of dollars just went bye.
Yeah. Yeah, that's bad. That didn't happen. Bruins, huge win last night. They've won 11 out of 12, beating the Flames 4-3 just hours after agreeing to trading David Backes, Axel Anderson, and a first-round pick to Anaheim for Andre Kasha. I like the deal. Maybe they still can get Brandon Saad. I think they're not done yet.
I don't think they're done, but they traded a first-round pick.
No.
So
but that's
it's unlikely they're going to trade another first-round pick.
No, you can't do that.
Right. So it all depends on what you think of their prospects and their system. And there's Dale believes that they have a pretty strong system, that their prospects are pretty desirable. And then you do a quick Google, and some of these random hockey blogs have them as like one of the weaker prospect systems in the NHL. So I don't know where that is. If this is the only move... I like it. You gave nothing up, and you added potential. But you added a guy with 7 goals who's doing nothing. Like, at some point, potential needs to turn into production, and this guy hasn't done that, really.
He's got 16 assists, Andy. Come on.
Yeah.
He's also got a concussion history and injury problems.
I know.
You can't live off you scored 20 goals 3 years ago or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah,
I need you to score 20 goals right now.
The move frees up cap space to potentially make another deal. We'll see what happens. Red Sox kick off their spring training schedule yesterday. 3-0 win over Northeastern today. The broadcast debut of OMF Afternoon Drive in the Red Sox booth. That's right. Glenn, Lou, and Christian will call their first ever game as the Red Sox host the Rays at 1 p.m. right here on the Shaw Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. And Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury 2, happens tonight out here in the desert. Out in the desert at MGM Grand. Boy, it's going to be a great fight.
Is Mutt staying for the fight?
I think he is.
Oh, good for him.
Think he is. I would. Wouldn't you for that fight?
Yes, I'm going out there. Stay for the damn fight.
Right.
Like, especially this fight. It's not a random fight I wouldn't have desire to watch or knowledge of.
Yeah, you got to stay for the fight. I mean, it's been so heavily promoted. Bob Arum said this is the biggest heavyweight fight since Ollie Frazier 1. I'm like, dude, there was Tyson Holyfield 2. There was Tyson Holyfield 1 and 2, pal. I don't know. You might have missed the 90s. You might have forgotten about it, old man.
Why do they have to lie to us?
Like
I understand your marketing and the promoters promote and they say bombastic things. But when you cross a line, and I just know it's complete BS,
right.
It devalues everything you're saying.
Yeah.
Just say, this is one of our better fights in decades. Let's go.
Yeah. And hopefully it lives up to the billing, unlike
Mayweather
Pacquiao.
Wonder if Brady will be there.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Oh.
Sure he will.
Wonder if Mark Davis will be there. John Gruden. Josh Jacobs.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We're going to have even more. We're going to have even more. We'll get your phone calls next at 617-779-7937. Mark and Hart.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're right back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
You make your money after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it. Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, nah. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on?
You know, it's funny. That's interesting. David Ortiz said that back on Mark and Hart. The number to get in, 617-779-7937. That's like asking, hey, why didn't you tell everybody that you were using PEDs back in 03?
So you look like a snitch.
Right. You should have. You could have.
Well, to be fair, he never told anybody. That's the difference. The comp would be if David Ortiz finished, hit his home runs, and then said, hey, they're all taking steroids.
No, but
clean that up.
He did say he was going to let all of us know what he tested positive for, and he was never going
to
run
Maybe
from it.
Maybe he hasn't found out yet.
People
need to chill out.
Those tests are, you know, you send something off to the lab.
Right,
it takes
it takes
a
long time.
There's a backlog.
11 years.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting. Whatever we look. I mean, the thing about it is that, and like, I get what he did, and you can't overstate his accomplishments on the field, but be careful who you're naming streets after. Be careful who things that you, I mean, you know, the guy was in his own home and someone tried to kill him because he was allegedly dating the girlfriend of a drug lord, a kingpin. And I'm like, you know, it's just.
What's that guy's name too? It's a good name.
The guy who was the drug lord kingpin?
Yeah, it's a good nickname.
I forgot because it was.
It's movie-like or like wrestler-like.
It's not. Eamon, I think it was Narcos-like. I forgot what it was, but.
Efforting.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. But it's a guy that you wouldn't
mess. The abuser?
No.
No. The Punisher? That's actually a comic book.
Yeah. So.
No, you were right, Andy. Caesar the Abuser.
Yeah, the Abuser. I don't mess with anybody whose name is the Abuser.
Cesar Emilio Peralta, also known as Caesar the Abuser.
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't care how hot she is.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Right. Yeah.
You're not that hot.
Yeah. Like, not everybody bows down to Red Sox players.
Yeah.
They don't carry a lot more weight over there that you think that they would.
And I don't think in the Dominican those are ironic nicknames. You know how sometimes they call the fat guy tiny? So maybe the Abuser is actually the nicest man on earth. No, I don't think it works that way in the Dominican. If he's known as the Abuser, it's because he abuses people. That's how it works.
No, I remember on the 30 for 30, the youth thing when... by Billy Corbin when he directed it, when Michael Irvin and some of the guys, they went into a club Manhattan down in Coconut Grove, and Brett Perryman, former wide receiver in the NFL, said, hey man,
you don't want to mess with these guys. These guys got a lot of murders on their resume.
Yep.
In other words, stay away from those guys.
No question.
You might be bad on Saturday, but they're bad every day.
No question.
And every night. You just stay away from those guys. I just think it's weird that here's a hero and a guy in New England, and he just, you know, this isn't someone that, like, if you say the name Larry Bird, I don't think there's anything off the court that Larry Bird's ever done really bad. Bobby Orr?
Well, Bird has the issues as a father and sort of that.
But that's not like where you're, you know, you were cheating. You were using performance-enhancing drugs.
Right.
Or you were someone who, you know, you're not taking up for, at the time, David Stern and saying, well, David Stern's doing everything the right way. And this is why, you know, the Celtics did this and did that. And, you know, he's not coming across as that Bobby Orr. There's nothing wrong.
No.
You know, the thing about David Ortiz that there's some, you know, it's not above board. There's some untoward things that are on his record that people know about that it's like, let's just be careful here with who we name streets after and who we deify and who we put on this pedestal and just worship. Because, I mean, and now it's just like, dude, now when you talk, I'm hearing John Henry, Tom Werner through you. That's who I hear.
The thing that he's enjoying right now is usually reserved for people who die. You know how when somebody dies,
yep,
we kind of gloss over their skeletons, their faults, and we just sort of talk about all the great stuff.
Like David, you mean like Kobe?
Yes.
Yes.
And David Ortiz is living that, and good for him, he's living that. You know, he didn't have to die for everybody to sort of gloss over any questions about PEDs or his marriage / Dominican or any of that. People gloss over it now as he's still alive, and that's, don't fault him. That's a great way to live. If everybody looks past any of your faults or your skeletons, woohoo! Good gig if you can get it.
Well, I think that's the thing in here and you know, the Red Sox. But it's amazing that so many people the other night, they were like, nah, man, I never trusted him. I was like, wow. It was like over 90% of people who just, they look at him, they're like, yeah, I never, you know, it's like, I like what he did for the Red Sox, comma, but I know how he is. You know, we could tell that there's just something not. And listen, Manny was the bad guy. Poppy was the beloved one. Poppy, yep, was the one who kept everything together. Poppy was the one who, when you think about the 86-year curse being finally reversed, you think of him and Schilling.
Sure.
Those are the guys. Manny was great, too. And Pedro was along for the ride that year. Didn't have a great book. But, like, it was certainly Poppy and Schilling. So I think that's where you sort of, like, people. But it's amazing that you, if you want to measure and look at differences between things that David Ortiz has done during his career or after and things that Curt Schilling has said, which I get it. I get it. It's in this day and age, the word conservative is dirty for a lot of people. I don't know why, but it is. And yet Schilling's pale in comparison to Ortiz. Schilling didn't have a mistress, wasn't in the Dominican Republic. No one took a shot at him. And yet people, they vilify Schilling and they deify Ortiz.
Some of it is personality, though. Schilling can be abrasive and kind of
and the whole video
smarmy.
Game. The video game,
certainly anybody Island. That lives in Rhode Island or yeah. that yeah. Is an aspect
I,
of it.
For, yeah, you can't.
But
yeah,
you know, just the visual and I would say the tone and the smile. Like David Ortiz is likable, right? People compare him to a big teddy bear. You just want to hug him, kind of thing. And Schilling doesn't have that. He's more abrasive. And he has an attitude, and he's snarky, and a lot of it is political and tied into that. But you're right. I mean, they certainly both have skeletons and both helped create the greatest championship or arguably one of the greatest championships in the history of this city, and yet they are viewed very, very differently. One, they fixate on his flaws or his little issues or skeletons, Curt Schilling. The other,
yep.
Oh, Ortiz doesn't have any flaws, or he's a nice man. Look at him. He's smiling. Oh, he's happy. He's yeah. hugging new players. Ah, oh, he's great.
Yeah, I mean, there was even a video of him in the streets of New York City going and hugging Yankees fans. Like,
right.
There was, like, so
he's huggable. There's no doubt about it.
No, he's a big teddy bear.
Yes.
He's a big teddy
huggable.
Bear.
He's huggable.
Yeah, sure. No problem. But I just, sometimes I see through BS, and when you're sitting there and you're saying, oh, Rob Manfred couldn't do anything and, you know, sticking up for the commissioner, it's like, I mean, your job security with the Red Sox and Fox Sports is pretty good. You've solidified that now to openly defend. Because you're the only. Think about who has come after Rob Manfred this week, over the last week. Bellinger, Alex Wood, Nick Markakis, Justin Turner, Mike Trout has questioned baseball and
LeBron James, and you're the only defender of the guy that they are. Oh, Aaron Judge has come out. You're the only one. LeBron James comes out this week, and you could say what you want. Sometimes LeBron, he's the king of unsolicited opinions, but he comes out this week, and I mean absolutely eviscerates.
Well, he's a fraud too, you know. Remember LeBron's comments on the Maury China whole thing?
Yeah.
Fraud. No, but follow the money, follow your boss, follow your connections, yep. And sometimes you know how people are going to speak. It's easy for LeBron from afar to throw bombs at the baseball commissioner. How about you talk about NBA issues in China? How about you talk about those, LeBron, you fraud?
Mm-hmm.
Ortiz should fire back on that. See, I hate that. That's what I hate. All the frauds. Careful. Because you're in a glass house. We're all in glass houses.
That's right.
You fraud, LeBron.
He said, and I'm quoting from his tweet, listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I am in sports, and I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be effing irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I would slash could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, et cetera, they are about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports. Now, you do know that Rob Manfred still has an option. He could vacate the Astros title. He said he won't.
Yeah, he won't.
He won't.
And he shouldn't. So is he going to vacate the Red Sox, too, depending on their investigation?
If he finds out they're cheating, and that's it. That's
so now we're just going to go multiple years?
Well, if you cheated, you cheated. And if you
No, it's not black and white, though. We know they're all skirting the rules a little bit, signal-wise, right? It's been done for centuries, or a century and a half anyway. So where's the line? Is technology the line, or whatever? Clearly, everyone agrees Houston crossed the line, right? I think that's the one thing pretty much everybody on the planet, wherever that line is, they crossed it and kept right on going well past it. But I don't think he will vacate the title, nor do I think he should.
Well, somebody who has a huge spot in the media had an interesting thing that he said about this whole thing. We'll get to that and more in your phone call, 617-779-7937.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
So my idea is to get a vote, a resolution of censure from all the owners to permanently brand the 2017 Astros with that scarlet letter C for cheaters in history. And then at that point, if he gets that, you would assume the vote would be 29-1 among team owners. He could forward that to the Players Association and tell them, look, we want a bipartisan resolution to notate the Astros through history. It may not feel as sexy as disciplining individual players, but the weight of history would be behind it.
Buster only on what Rob Manfred could do to the Astros. I don't mind it. I'm okay with it. Now, Rob Manfred's come out and said that everybody will know there was something different. But it's better if there's an asterisk by the Astros.
Yeah, but how do you
do that? Right. I know.
So if I write a story on WEEI.com about the Astros, like, what if I don't put an asterisk next to it? Like, there's no way. People know or they don't know. They care or they don't care. That whole idea. I like the idea. If you truly want to punish, like, I talked about this with Mutt on Wednesday, this idea of, like, a postseason ban. No, unprecedented opportunity to punish that doesn't necessarily detract from the history of the game. I don't think you can take it away, and the asterisk to me is stupid. Like, it's just a nothing. Like, that's a roll-your-eyes punishment. Oh, there's an asterisk. Yeah, great.
You know the thing, the saddest part about this? This is, like, from a national standpoint, this is the only thing that is interesting about baseball. That you're talking about it, but prior to really the start of spring training games, that this scandal is something that has really preoccupied everything. And it's almost like, instead of, like, when UFC, the Fertittas and Dana White took over, instead of running away from regulation, they went towards it. They're like, no, we want to be a real sport.
Right.
The baseball should embrace this. They should, you know, I'm not saying be proud of it, but, like, hey, you know, use this because they're talking about you. They're not talking about the Royals, okay, or the Pirates. They're talking about the Astros and the sport of baseball and sign stealing, and it's interesting.
It is, but it's also, I mean, what would story two be? If this didn't happen, if this weren't the story, I would think it would be the New York Yankees, right? They are the big bad Yankees. They go out and sign Garrett Cole, like, they're back, the evil empire. Sure. Are they going to win? Who can take them down? That whole thing. And I don't know, you know. It's unfortunate because there's no resolution. This doesn't help gain fans, right? This talk of Houston. If anything, you could lose fans that wait a minute. I watched two full seasons and saw two World Series champions crowned, and it wasn't on the up and up. Like, the better cheater won each year. Is that what happened? The best cheater is winning? What is this, the Tour de France? What is this, you know, like, these other things that have been cheapened by these cheating scandals? And I those questions are not good. How do you convince people that it's over is the question moving forward for Major League Baseball. You know, I've been saying this for weeks now. The steroid era. That's one of the great myths that baseball has been able to convince people of, that there was an era. Okay, so give me the dates. When were they? When were the dates?
1986 through 2005?
You sure?
No.
No, I'm not either.
No.
You know?
No.
I'm sorry, but if there were steroids,
there was the beginning of the Bash Brothers, and 05 was it's funny because they both bookend with Canseco. 86 was the beginning of the Bash Brothers,
right?
And then 2005 was when he released Juiced,
right?
So it's like, yeah.
But a cynic like me says, so I'm to believe the Russians had steroids in the Olympics in like the 40s, right?
Yeah,
and they never made their way across. And then rumors in football are that as early as the early 60s, I've said this to you before, that the Patriots lost the AFC title game to a Chargers team, that there's a lot of questions and speculation that it was a Chargers team that was all juiced up. That's the 60s. So none of those guys knew baseball players. No baseball players were taking anything in the 60s or the 70s or the early 80s. Didn't start till Canseco. Naive. Oh, but it ended in 05. We ended it. Don't worry. We're clean now. No one's taking anything now, right? Except if you ask Trevor Bauer and some of the more honest players, they don't know the exact percentage. They don't think it's over 50% like maybe it was in the heyday of steroids. They still think there's steroids in the game, correct? There are. But baseball has convinced you there was a steroid era. That, you know what they need to do now? Convince you somehow there was a sign-stealing era. There was a sign-stealing era from 2000, whatever you want to start it at, 14, 16, 8, and then end it. And convince everyone that it ended. We got rid of live video. We've moved on. There's delays. There's no more video rooms. We're back to a good, clean game where the actual hitters don't know what's coming.
Well, and here's the thing, even moreover, let's just go to the Hall of Fame. I'll throw this. People like, oh, you got to eventually let Clemens and Bonds in. My thing is this. If you want to put, you know, like, just sort of a wing of, like, guys who are accused of PEDs, and that where there's, here's the suspicious wing.
Clemens, Bond, Sosa, Maguire, Ortiz, Ramirez, A-Rod. I'm okay with that.
But how do you decide who's suspicious? Do you have to have failed a test? Is it just, well, that guy's number spiked, right? Or but here, that guy's head size changed, or wow, he looked a lot bigger that seat. What's the criteria for inclusion?
Well, here's my big question is this. So everybody around here, we all want to throw our darts and arrows at the Astros. Strip them of the 2017 world title. Do this, do that. So then I asked, I said, okay, what happens when baseball does its investigation? And the Red Sox did not cheat in the postseason, which nobody thinks that they did in 2018. But let's say they found out that they cheated throughout the 162-game regular season. Do you want to take away your 2018 title? So it's weird when people are allocating other people's accomplishments. Are you willing to say, well, if you take away the Astros, you take away our title, I'm okay with it. Most people that I talked to, they're like, yeah, fine. We already had three. 3-15, it's still good, which it is, and they're all those three, 04, 07, 2013. There's no issues there. But, yeah, I'm like, because if you want to take away the Astros, it's like you said, what did you say before? Living in what?
Glasshouse.
Bingo.
Right.
Bingo.
But if you go, and Manfred brought up the precedent idea. So you strip the Astros. Let's say you strip the Red Sox of 18. What about 04? Who was on that team?
Yep.
Manny? He was on that team,
yep.
Right? Ortiz. So, your little wing of steroids. Yep. We should probably take the Red Sox 04 title away because there's multiple guys with connections to steroids on that team. I just don't like the idea. The end result, and I give credit to Manfred. I do sort of agree with him. At least baseball fans, they know, right? They've heard enough stories. They have enough doubts. But they accept it and they move on. Just like they accepted that there was 90 whatever, there was no postseason. Like, it's part of history. And you're an educated baseball fan and you know that it happened. But the stripping of titles, like, what are we doing here? And then do you anoint somebody else a champion?
No, you vacate.
There's nothing. There's just a hole in the list.
So, you know Montrezl Harrell from the Clippers?
Yes.
I covered his Louisville team that won the national title against Michigan. They vacated that title. The NCAA vacated. It's just vacated.
So it's like Reggie Bush. He never won the Heisman.
Right.
But he did. I know he did.
You saw it.
I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw him play. I saw that he was good. Hey. I saw they voted for him.
Hey, how about the greatest line on that 30 for 30 about was Trojan something? When Snoop Dogg, they asked him about like what he would have done if he was Reggie Bush, and they came and took the Heisman and go, come get this mother effer. Right. Come get it. Like, Snoop's like, you want my Heisman? Come get it. Like, yeah. Reggie just gave it, and I'm like, oh, my God. When I toured USC for the first time 4 years ago. By the way, the campus, I thought Georgetown and like some of the, like these other campuses, you could eat off the ground at USC. It's that clean. So I went in their athletic complex. You see O.J. Simpson everywhere. You see Reggie Bush at that time, nowhere. Nowhere.
So it's better to kill somebody after you're done than to cheat a little while you played?
According to the University of Southern California. And they're building with the George Lucas and Steven Spielberg building, and you go in there and you see all these great alumni who have directed movies, John Singleton, and you're like, Jesus, how many people? Like, you're like, oh my, the people that went to this school.
Plus, it's pretty nice weather.
Yeah, but Snoop Dogg's, come get this mother.
That's what I would say, too.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I'm taking this.
Yeah, right.
Cold, dead hands.
Yeah, like, seriously, like, yeah. I would have some of my boys waiting at the door for the NCAA to come take the Heisman. All right, don't forget OMF coming up at 1 o'clock today. They are going, their broadcasting debut. Glenn Lewin Christian's going to call their first ever game together, Red Sox hosting the Rays at JetBlue Park right here on the Shaw Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. We see all the calls on hold. We'll get to all of you. Big Poppy turning to Big Puppet. What would you do? Not everybody wants to punish the Astros. What do you do to the Red Sox if the Red Sox are found guilty as well? 617-779-7937. And Andy Hart has a great take. And I'm going to hype it up because the text, that was a hyped up text, right, Eamon?
We're going to have to get an air horn going or
something. A fresh take on this Belichick-Brady thing, which I am really looking forward to.
Rooted in my washing my hair in my shower. Okay. I do my best thinking in the shower.
Me too. Like, honestly, you really do. Like, I don't know what it is.
It's the steam. It just cleanses everything.
The pores are open. And I'm gonna give you, if you're in the great states of Rhode Island and New Hampshire, I'm going to give you a winner for tonight. Not football, for the fight.
Oh, boy.
Bet your kids' future college tuition.
Oh, no.
This is it. I got that for you.
Don't learn lessons,
no,
do you?
No, I've already
he placed, admits it.
I haven't placed my bet already. I've already got it in.
Can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Hey, Mr. And he's old.
Hey, Mr. T was Columbia. He's in Columbia right now, but I got mine in last night.
Okay.
I got it.
I look forward. As always, this provides me entertainment this week and next because we react to what happens in this bet.
There we go. All right. All that, your phone calls don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.